Hallelujah. We're having a good time around here. Kenneth Hagin used to say, it was hard to start with for me to grasp this, but he said, Satan will fight you harder over finances than he will souls getting saved in a church, in our ministry. That doesn't sound so right to start with until you understood what he was saying. He said, you can get souls saved, a few souls here and there, and he doesn't like that at all. But where he'll fight you at, some of the hardest places is in the finances. Because if there's ever enough and more than enough to preach the gospel, propagate the gospel, if you can create some kind of big juggernaut of a machine that actually is cranking out, he can't stand that. In other words, the propagation, the more that you're able to facilitate the message, he's got to stop that. So there's a warfare. How many of you would agree that there is a warfare? And the warfare is not just in the corporate church as far as the finances coming in here or Immokalee or Tulsa, but the warfare starts at the grassroots level with you and with the givers and with the people that believe God to support the church and the ministries. Pastor Jim talked about and has talked about the scriptural reasons, and a number of us have, for giving. And one of the things that he brought out was that we're not giving to get. Gary brought that out. We've given scriptures, and most of you at this point understand that. And then Jim gave a perfect testimony of how he just tried that, how that he just years ago, one of the things that weaned him from that was just asking God, believing God, and standing on scripture. We have just done, I have finished a 10-week lessons on the joy. It's called the joy of stewardship. And one of those particular lessons was birthed out of two dreams that the Lord gave me. And that particular, it was the next week that I ministered this. Now, you can go on our website, and the way that our website is set up, we've done some changes. If you go to it, this was actually ministered on March the 18th, and it's the joy of stewardship / warfare. And I'm going to read these dreams to you, and the way our website is set up, it's that the most recent lessons are at the top, so you won't have to scroll down too far to find this. It's March 18th, and it is the eighth lesson in that. Also, I'm going to mention a PDF that's there that's very important for us to make a practical application to what I'm talking about tonight. On the night of March the 10th, and I think L.A. Referenced this on these dreams a couple days ago, but I'll read this to you because I wrote these things down. On the night of March the 10th, 2018, I had two consecutive dreams. I don't remember having any kind of relative thoughts in the evening prior to these dreams. They just happened, as God's dreams often do, without previous warning. Dream number one. In the first dream, I was standing somewhere and someone handed me a check, or it just happened to appear in my hand. Either way, it was a check that paid off the remaining portion of the church mortgage. I do distinctly remember that at that point, $60,000 paid it off. So that was just distinctly given to me in the dream. Then immediately, as things can happen in a dream, to the best of my remembrance, someone handed me a card. In the card were two checks. I remember taking the first check and opening it and looking at the contents. Amazingly enough, even though it was a dream, I remember how distinct the numbers appeared and how I was thinking, is this a six-figure number? To the best of my memory, the first check was for $560,000. Immediately, I took the second check and looked at it, and I don't remember the exact amount of the check, but I do remember immediately knowing that the two of them together made at least $1 million. I knew this was not my money, but belonged to the ministry. I think one of the things that personally blessed me the next day when I woke up in this thing. You know how God dreams are. They just stick with you. And I was remembering that part, and I was saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when I dreamed that part of the dream, that the joy in seeing that, that I knew immediately this is not mine, and there was a joy in knowing that. So I thanked God for that. My heart was filled with joy, and I had to find Candy and share with her the good news. Immediately, I began to search for her. I found her in a crowded place among many people that I understood as church members. Once I located her, I shared with her the awesome news about what God had done. Immediately, the scene changed, and now we were in a battlefield. It was strange because it seemed to be indoors and outdoors at the same time. As I looked, there were soldiers that were in a straight line parallel with one another, all facing the same direction. And again, I understand these to be the members of our church. They were dressed in army uniforms with helmets on their heads. They had military rifles in hand and were in a bent knee position, shooting at the enemy across an open field. Candy and I were still standing at the end of a long line of uniformed soldiers. I could see bullets hitting the ground all around us from enemy fire that was coming from across the opposite side of the field. I remember thinking that if one of these bullets hit me, it could kill me. I remember the anxious feeling of needing to get out of the way quickly. Immediately, I grabbed Candy and placed my body between her and the oncoming bullets. We dropped to the ground, and we began to crawl along the ground. And I was crawling in a side fashion with my back to the battle, trying to protect her as we crawled to safety. Then I woke up. Dream two. I returned to sleep and dreamed a second dream. The next dream was much shorter. I remember being in a place where a lot of activity was going on, and it seemed as if a ceremony was about to commence. In the dream, I was dressed in a full Marine Corps uniform, not so much battle fatigues, but a more ceremonial attire. I also knew that I was part of the military, and I was so proud to be a part of the military and whatever was about to happen. That was the dream. I understood through the revelation of God that the two dreams were one message of truth. Victory and great financial blessings for stewardship is only experienced and enjoyed through great warfare. Amen. The church at large, I'm going to try to find this real quickly. Got to go to another section. The church at large wants victory without warfare. Most of the church has no taste for blood, for no taste for fight. They just want it. And I think that's kind of all of the flesh part of us. And even though there's not the part that we give to get, and it's not that we're trying to solicit what God has already done for us, he who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? It's not that when we begin to quote or confess scriptures that we're pulling something from God that he's not already given to us. You understand, that's not the application. The application is this: sometimes and many times it's necessary that the enemy's going to know this. The enemy's going to stand there and he's going to fight you. He's going to fight your finances, and God's already given it to you, but unless you go into that place, and spiritual warfare is not the you know, it's not the screaming at the devil. It's not, it's just simply standing on the word of God, making those confessions and believing God. Now, the Sunday that I ministered that and shared that dream, I also passed out to everyone in the congregation some scriptural confessions. And we're not going to go through these for time because I really want to hear the lesson tonight. But I got this from my good friend, Gary Carpenter, and years ago, he just did he put together a number of scriptures for financial increase. And I called Gary and said, can we put this? Absolutely. You can use anything I have. So I don't know where to tell you to find it on his website. He may do that. But I can tell you that it's put alongside in a PDF on that eighth lesson, The Joy of Stewardship / Warfare. And you can go to our website and find that and download it. And it's probably about 25 scriptures or 20 scriptures. And what he did was he personalized those into confessions to believe. And I do this 2 or 3 times a week. It doesn't take that long. We're not going to do it tonight, but I can tell you personally, okay? I can tell you, since I've been doing this, there has been a drastic change in my personal finances and in the finances of the church. It works. So oftentimes we know a truth, and I'm speaking firsthand. We know a truth, but we don't do a truth. We can have all of the scripture that we've heard memorized and understand, but unless we're doing the spiritual application, it doesn't work. Because we have to go in there and dismantle those things which Satan has tried to put up against us. Hallelujah. So, again, scriptures for financial increase. I'll just read just the top part. Gary said this, and before he put this out, confess these personalized passages of God's word regularly to help build your faith for increased financial prosperity. Be alert to take action in ways the Holy Spirit may direct you, especially in your giving. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your financial harvest as it manifests in your life. Now, let's just do a few of these, okay? How about standing with me? Hallelujah. This is 2 Corinthians 8:9. And this is personalized. I'm going to say this, and if you'll repeat this with me. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ.
I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ.
That though he was rich,
yet for my sake he became poor.
That I through his poverty
might be rich.
Now this is Deuteronomy 8. I shall remember the Lord my God.
For it is he that gives me the power to get wealth.
That he may establish his covenant,
which he has sworn unto my fathers.
Third John 1 says this, or let's say it together. The Lord desires above all things
that I prosper
and be in health,
even as my soul prospers.
Matthew 6, I seek first the kingdom of God
and
his righteousness,
and all these things shall be added unto me.
Psalms 35, the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of me, his servant.
John 10,
Jesus came that I might have life,
and that I might have it more abundantly.
Philippians 4, my God shall supply all of my need
according to his riches and glory.
Psalms 34,
I seek the Lord,
so I shall not lack any good thing.
Now we can go on and on and on, but
that is just simple. It may be thought easy peasy, but unless you do it, it doesn't work.
Hallelujah.
Now you may be seated to dig in those pocketbooks. Hallelujah.